Amen. Thank you very much. Well, we've covered 20 sessions. We have three more to go. And two of those three are going to be with Pastor Ralph. Ralph, bring us the word.
Okay. I'm glad these aren't flowery introductions, because if they were, I could hardly wait to hear myself speak. Dear folks, in September of 1982, we became pastor of Austin Bible Church in the old building, of course. That's 28 years ago, folks. And yet I'm looking out in the congregation and I see people that I knew back in those days by the grace of God. I want you to turn, please, to John chapter 15. Here we are in John again. And I want to read from a passage of Scripture that has meant a great deal to me, folks. Because when it comes to my age and my dear wife's age, there's a desire, since we've started right with salvation in Christ and we've had to follow through with edification of truth, to finish strong. The concept of finishing strong. And to do that, I have to get the real mature words of Scripture. And believe it or not, those mature words are like agapao love, you've got the philos love, and you've got that philos storgos love. Those three especially. And I want to develop that, because when I teach on this, I'm teaching what I call the deep things of God. And that has to counteract the deep things of Satan. It's kind of like you go down in a biblical bathysphere with the deep things of God, and you can never reach his depths. And then, of course, Satan will try to counteract that. But by the grace of God, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. John chapter 15. Now notice in this particular chapter, as I read it, it says in verse 10, if you keep my commandments — those are grace commandments, they're not Levitical commandments where you keep this or you'll be punished. These are the commandments I want to keep. You shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments, and those are grace commandments, and abide in his love. These things I have spoken unto you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, grace commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. We're dealing with agape. We're dealing with that particular love. Greater love. Greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his philoi. Philos in the plural. You are my friends, same word, if you do whatever I command, grace commands you. Verse 15, henceforth I call you not servants, doulos, but the servant knows, for the servant knows not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you ask of my Father in his name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that you love one another. The book of John is interesting because it deals with the things of maturity. 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John deals with the things of maturity. Revelation, all the way through, deals with the things of maturity. Now, we're not going to totally mature without our glorified bodies. You understand that, don't you, dear folks? Okay. But, obviously, as I've spent my time in John, I've run into some of my fellow Dallas Seminary friends, and they will say, oh, the Bible stops with Paul. This one dear friend, and of course we talk back and forth, we don't argue, we learn. He said, there's 21 mysteries in the Bible. And I said, well, I've only found 11. What are the other 10? He said, well, you don't study Paul. You spend all your time studying John. I'll tell you something. When I get in John's writing, this is the Greek language, but in the English, which I use and which you all understand, the English language of how all of these concepts come together as we study the Word. And I'll tell you something. I have never had a more wonderful time in the Lord than I'm having right now. I was saved in 46. I was called to preach in 51, so next year that's going to be 60 years. And by the grace of God, in these years, He has been faithful. He's been faithful. And I have to say, wow! The wonderful, that's W, overview, O, of the Word, W. Wow! The Word of God. Now, I want to deal with union, communion, and reunion. But I'm not going to really develop it that much because, obviously, when we're dealing with the death of our Lord Jesus Christ, His cross work, the concept is suffering. And whenever we have communion, I always think of suffering. And I have to use this illustration, part of which I've never made very public. On September 21st, 1966, our second son went to be with the Lord. He was barely 6 years of age in an automobile accident that I won't go into great detail, but it was a group of six girls in a Pontiac who were coming through a school zone, which really wasn't marked as such, and the headlight rim hit him right below his skull, severed his spinal column, and after 3 or 4 hours, he was with the Lord. Some 2 weeks before that, I had spent time talking with him. He was precocious, just like a child at Baraka Church in the early years. See, I started on tapes in 56. That's a long time ago. Who had also gone to be with the Lord at about the same age. I think he got a little more than that, 7 or 8, but be that as it may. This particular boy, our son David Paul, knew many verses of Scripture. When we went up to camp at Maranatha Camp in Nebraska, he said, "I want to talk with you, Daddy." And this was just a couple weeks before he would go to be with the Lord, and I didn't know. And he said, "I want to get justification straight, and then sanctification, and then this glorification," because he'd been in South Dakota in a military cemetery, and he looked at all these white crosses. And that happened that same year. He went to be with the Lord because I was taught dying grace through the tapes of Baraka Church. As you see, I started with the 56 Law and Grace series. I went through the 59 basics. I went through the 61 basics. I went through the 63 through 66 basics, which obviously was a very interesting thing because he ended it with Psalm 23 and used our son as an example of learning the Word of God on tape. And then I had to go talk to the board and so on and so forth, and they became actually a agency of ministry of tapes. So if you have problems with tapes in your church or anything like that, just see me. That was the problem. But anyway, 6 weeks later, you see, I didn't have a brother. I just had a sister almost 6 years younger than me. What a disappointment when she was born. But I love her. This dear girl gave me all kinds of problems. I always got whipped. She wouldn't start to cry until she got close to the house if we had some problem, you see. But I didn't have a brother. Okay, so we had two brothers, Stephen Ernest and David Paul. 6 weeks later, this is what I don't tell publicly because it's too hard for me. I'm talking about suffering, the suffering of Christ, the suffering in us. He almost went to be with the Lord. We had purchased a brand new Tornado automobile, Oldsmobile, 1966, 385 horsepower, and wow, that was the finest car I ever had. And this came about because our church felt, since I like cars and couldn't afford that kind of thing, it cost almost $6,000 in those days, they helped me get one after David Paul's death. We got home for Thanksgiving. We pulled up in the early morning, and our oldest son got out and hugged Grandpa's dog, and the dog bit him right here in the throat. That was what endeared me to tornadoes, which I've owned some 15 of them through the years, because I floorboarded that car. I think its top speed is actually about 128 actual. It'll show 135 on the speedometer. Dorothy stayed back in the farmhouse, and she called, and a doctor happened to get there on Thanksgiving morning. And he had enough surgery in his thinking, because you get out in those areas and often you have general practitioners, not surgeons, to stop the blood flow, because I drove with one hand and held him here. See? Doctor said 5 more minutes and he would have been with the Lord. The Lord was going to take both my boys. And I'd like to say this, that when you get into this undeserved suffering, when people don't measure up, when you have great loss and all of those particular things, God's there. My Heavenly Father's there. For years, I've taught the concept of Greek as far as learning the truth of God's Word. Gnosis for the facts in an auditorium like here. Gnosko, you study the facts. The pupil does that. Epinosis, you believe the facts. Oida, with that perfect connotation, you actually are committed to the facts. The commitment, Tom. Okay, that's where the commitment comes. It doesn't come at the moment of salvation. Oh, there's people, I'm sure, that really have some background there and understand what commitment is the minute they're saved or whatever, but believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, faith alone, Christ alone, we understand that. All right. Sophia, the wisdom, the application. But I always left something out. It's that great word that has a soon prefix, and then you've got I-E-M-I. It's not like the status verb to be I-me. It's a little interchange there, and it means understanding. Caring, like this morning you were teaching. Caring. I don't know whether you realize that, but one of my ministries, and it's been quite extensive, is to minister to the people that for one reason or another got out of sync with the Bracket Church ministry. Without putting down RBT, who we called Bob in those very early days, he would not allow us to call him Colonel, I would say, you know, the judgment seat of Christ is going to take care of us pastors. And you too. But dear folks, when it comes to this idea of understanding, and the word was soon as an idea of pulling everything together and allowing the Spirit of God to make hurting people love the truth. I have that side. I have another side when I do evangelism. I do as much evangelism as teaching and shepherding. And these guys in the coffee group there in Council Grove, Kansas, they're a bunch of guys that are from all different backgrounds, longshoreman retired, airline pilot. You can just go on and on what they do. And when they started teasing me, I know they'd accepted me because I wore a plaid type of hat with ear flaps, and they started calling me Elmer Fudd. And so I'm Elmer to them. And you know, these dear guys, one of the old reprobates there, and he's still a reprobate, and he said, I'll do that as long as I can. But he said, I don't know why I'm going to hold out. But anyway, he said, you don't condemn us. And one of the men asked me in private, how come you're that way? I said, because of John 3:16. Well, what's so interesting, there's a few that are church people, men. This is a men's group that gets together. And I asked one man who'd just become a believer. No, he said, I haven't just become a believer. He said, I've never grown. And he said, in my church, they just evangelized. And he says, I know I need to repent. But I said, do you know any verses? He said, yeah, I know half of John 3:16. That's all I know. God so loved the world. I said, would you like to learn the other half? pull the flash card out and give it to him. You know, you always have to carry things around because at a moment's notice you might have to open the Bible with somebody. You might have some way of helping these people. I said, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. He did not come in the world, what, in 3:17, to condemn the world because it was already condemned. So I said, I don't have to condemn you. The phone will ring. Dorothy has a cell phone. Is that what you call it? You know, phones. It rings. The doctor there, he says, God called Ralph. But he says, Elmer. I don't think Elmer Fudd can be saved. But anyway, this man is. And here we are. Wow. And then they say, what'd he say? He said, you guys need help. And they all laugh. Yeah, we do. But this evangelism is relaxed. One of the men who's a real reprobate comes up to me and he said, since I've been hearing you here, and I don't talk much about the Lord when I'm with the big group. It's the smart. He said, I'm listening on TV to a preacher. I said, what's he want? My money. What else? Well, he's talking the way you do. And he said, you know, I'm not the kind of man. He said, in fact, he said, I've got two housekeepers. I said, what do you mean by that? Didn't you marry them? Oh, yeah, I married them, but when the divorce happened, they kept the house. What I'm saying is if you're going to lead people to a saving knowledge of Christ and get them to the wonderful overview of the Word where they understand union, communion, and reunion, you have to be where they are with limitations. And I've got all kinds of places to go where I can talk to them about the Lord Jesus Christ if they want to talk. And we find a couple believers in that coffee shop. So we have covenanted together to pray for each person by name daily. And wow, what God is doing by His grace. Now, when I do this, I do the walk through the Bible. Some of you are familiar with that and some of you are not. Where we start with God in eternity past and the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, obviously. And we begin to walk through with Operation Guam. God created the universe, angels and man. And then we go through Genesis 1 and 2, creation. Genesis 3, the fall. Genesis 4, Cain murders Abel. And 5 and 10 are the family concepts of genealogy. 6 through 8 is the flood. 9 is the rainbow. And then you've got capital punishment. Of course, I have hand signals with it all. I'm German, but I've got some Italian in me, so I have to do that. And so we go through that. And what's amazing to me is it pumps up positive volition. You find positive volition. And 50 times in the Word of God, there's a chronological walkthrough. As the Bible progresses, more and more is added to it till you get to passages like Psalm 106 or you get into Acts 18. Okay, now when I begin to edify, I do something that you have to think about because everybody just looks at me when I do this. In eternity past to eternity future, you have the administration. Could I use the word dispensation? It's a friendly word here. That's unusual. Where God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit actually have the overall administration of the Word of God from eternity past to eternity future. Now, the Father in paterology is actually the leader. And He's the delegator. So He delegates the Lord Jesus Christ to go to the cross. He delegates through the Lord Jesus Christ the Holy Spirit to take His place, Christ's place, when He goes back to heaven. And then I hang all the other dispensations on that administrative, God in charge, overall, bringing everything from beginning to end to fruition. And I hang the teachings of God's Word on that. And in our area, I use the word the teaching more than I use the word doctrine because there's some tension when you use the word doctrine. That's fine. I just say the word means to teach. It's teaching. Okay. Okay, now as I get to the concept of love, which I'll be developing tonight in much more leadership. Remember, when you coordinate the Word of God, 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold, 30-fold is the evangelist that pastors a local church. He has a lot of salvation. Well, 30-fold, okay? 60-fold, you add edification to it in the whole counsel of God's Word, Acts 20:27. You might get to 60-fold. If you take the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, you go from paterology, the work of the Father and the life of the believer, and you get the Christology, what Christ did on our behalf in His intercession ministry, and you get to the Holy Spirit who warmly reveals the truth to us. I said warmly reveals the truth to us. You get 100-fold. You say, how do you prove that? Well, you know, a lot of times your illustrations aren't too provable, are they? But start studying the Gospels and it'll come through. It's exactly the way it is. So, when I grow in the Lord Jesus Christ, I start with agape, and that's the big circle, and one of the men used that particular thing. And within that circle is philos, or phileo, the friendship word. I used to think when a man, he'd come up to me and he'd say, my wife's my best friend. What in the world? She's more than that. Friend. I didn't have a high view of friendship. And then I read this passage and I saw that He wanted to make us friends so I would know what He was doing. Now, when it comes to agape love, the sacrificial devotion to truth, we move into an area that is very, very intimate. We know how to pray through Christ to the Father through the power of the Holy Spirit. Do you know how through divine vocabulary you're able to actually fellowship with Jesus Christ, where He becomes so real to you that He's more real? Now, see, in my evangelism, I work from sight, where the men are, to, that's visible, to the invisible by faith. And the bridge between sight or creation into the invisible is amazing. And you have that insight as you're in the Word of God. Now, turn, please, to this great passage in Revelation 2:4, and I will be filling this out more tonight, but I want you to see this, because here is the place for 50 years, as far as we know, the Apostle John was ministering, and in 2:4 of Revelation, nevertheless, I have somewhat against you, because you have left your first love. Now, I've often called agape, first love, and philos, second love, and I'm almost to say that the third love, the family love, is philos storge, or storgos. All right, you've left it. You go through 1 John 13:4, and you make every, 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 to the end there, where love never fails. If you have this kind of agape love in your marriage, you young people will never have the divorce problem. But I'll tell you something right now. The big attack is on men, young boys, okay? And that's why I deal with men so constantly, because I want the men to outnumber the women in our churches, even though you ladies have about 7 or 8 years on us. When these men become spiritual leaders, when they begin to pray with their wives, when they begin to feel free to be in prayer meetings, you really start to get some leadership. And how do we do that? Well, we teach agape love. All right, you got that? Now, go to chapter 3. Go to chapter 3. And here you have the Philadelphia church in verse 7 of Revelation. And it says, and to the angel or messenger of the church in Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that opens and no man shuts and no man opens. I wish I had the time to exegete that. I know your works. Behold, I have set before you an open door, and no man can shut it, for you have a little strength and have kept my word and have not denied my name. Philadelphia. What is that? Philos Adelphos. in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, the Church of the Brotherly Shove, but that's the way Hendricks always told it, you see. All right, there's Philos in that. You got Philos in that. Okay, so what do you have? You go on here, and in the Laodicean church, I didn't see this for years, in verse 19, as many as I love, phileo, friendship love, intimate love, I rebuke, that's a strong word, and chasten, be zealous therefore, and repent, behold, I stand at the door and knock. What does he want here? An open door. We don't really have a division in the chapter, do we? Other than it's a different church, Philadelphia. Here's the Laodicean church. It's dealing with friendship with the world. The Laodicean church had friendship with the world. When I'm to have what? Friendship with my Savior, the living Christ. I call you friends. Friends! I looked at these men at the coffee shop and I said, men, because one of them said, we're a family here. We all stick together, about 25, 30 men. I'm invited to their parties. And they're quite subdued when I'm there. Somebody uses a bad word and, excuse me, Pastor. Were you raised around cussing? Oh, boy, was I. And you've heard it many times. Yes, my dad told me, when you get in the pulpit, you can't cuss. Now, why do you say that? I mean, how can a man think without that? Okay. And don't put a skirt on. And I haven't because Dorothy won't let me. But anyway, it's that kind of life. But I look at this passage and I see the fact that the open door of Philadelphia is the open door here. The open door is phileo, love, based upon agape love with the Savior. Because you see, men started to really respond when I added paterology, pater the Father, logos, the Word of the Father. I'm not talking about theology proper. Even Dr. Chafer only had 3 or 4 pages on the work of God the Father in the life of the believer. I've searched the world over, and that's not very much because I'm finite. You know what I found? I found 15 books. And one of the men that's written the best book on it is a Pentecostal preacher. And he said, first we started out with the Holy Spirit, and that's all we had. And he said, we didn't have really balance in our churches. Then he said, we discovered Christ, and he still didn't have balance. He said, unless our churches understand God the Father and His work in the believer, along with Christ and the Holy Spirit, we don't have anything. He kicked him out. Isn't that interesting? I'm not against these people that are there, you know. We minister to them all the time in one way or the other. But what I'm saying, we have to have the whole counsel of God's Word. And the whole counsel of God's Word is you not only understand agape and philos, you understand philos plus storgos, which is in Romans chapter 12, verse 10. And I want to go back to that. Romans chapter 12, verse 10, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. And it's stacking up a couple concepts of love here with the words that are used. But philos plus storgos is family love. Family love. The love of a family. I tell you, folks, we have 19 grandchildren. We have 8 greats. Don't you think that's enough to pray for almost all day long? I mean, what does it say in the Bible? I used to make fun of that verse, pray without sneezing. Because they would say, you know, it's like an intermittent cough. No, pray without ceasing. So what have Dorothy and I done? I had a pygmy prayer life. Dorothy has really helped me a lot in the prayer deal. I can teach all the time. And if I'm not teaching 2 or 3 times a day, I feel like I'm on the shelf. And that's come from the daily teaching of the RBC ministry through the years, which I was indoctrinated in. And by the way, you don't have to be critical of these people. You put them in the hands of the Lord, and judgment seat of Christ will take care of the rest, just like with me. And I said that before. But I tell you what, when you see the whole panorama of God's Word, for example, I can think all the way through God and eternity past, all the way through God and eternity future in about three or four ways. For example, the guy came to Dallas and he said, "You Ichabods, you need to learn what's in the content of the Bible." Because he's asked us what was in John 13, and not one of those 300 guys knew. You know what happened? He said, "Three of you are going to learn all the chapters of the Bible content." And I have. Took 10 years because I'm slow. My wife could have learned them in three or two. But you got to know the Word, folks. It has to be daily in the life because it's a grace thing. You want to. You want to be in the Word. Both Daddy and Mommy want to be in the Word. Oh, I never had my dad put his arm around me and said, "Son, let's pray about it." Because he wasn't saved till he was 47. When they were courting, "Are you a Christian?" "Yeah, I went through the Christian church. Yeah, I was baptized." "Yes." "No." He wasn't saved. He went through the religion part, but he wasn't saved. He wasn't saved. Boy, that day when he was saved, he said, "Wow, God in His matchless grace has made me a new man." Because we're vaccinating a steer. We live in ranch country. And he dropped the shrins. Instead of profanity coming out of his mouth, he said, "That's all right, Bessie. We'll clean it up." I looked on his WC tractor, and here was a scripture verse like Romans 12, 1 and 2. The cream separator that we used to after hand milking do, it had a scripture verse. I said, "Dad, what happened to you?" "I got the new birth." And boy, what a change. And you know what he said? He said, "You know, it's much easier to teach Sunday school when you're a Christian than before." You know, that's something you have to learn in these days, you know. So when you get into a passage like this, you're going from the panorama of this first kind of love. Don't lose it. You go to this friendship type of love that is so high and so beautiful because you become a friend not only of your wife if you're married, you become a friend of your children all the way through. That's philos. You have intimacy with your children. Wasn't it true, as I remember it, Dorothy, when our two girls got through high school and they said, "You know, we're sure thankful for one thing." "What in the world is that?" "You stayed together. You didn't divorce." I think out on the West Coast one time, somebody asked me how long we'd been married, and I said, 25 years. And he said, 25 years on the West Coast? And then that family love of storge, where you put everything together. Where in our old age, this is what I love, because all of this ministry since 1951, all of this is being put together. You young fellas, boy, what a burden I have for you to grow in the Lord. And I'm so glad there's a training ministry like we had in various churches, you know. I'm so glad that you've had that here. And so if you need to have nervousness, remember, in the protracted evangelistic meetings, when people were saved, in our local church of 39 people, 13 were saved one Sunday morning because a Baptist evangelist and his Dallas Seminary cohort were there in a Methodist church giving the gospel. And the Lord just saved like you can't believe. So there I am, young man. Sunday morning, following that, Brother Frank, that's what we called him, said, "You know, Ralph's been called to preach. And any man that's been called to preach can preach. Ralph, come up and take the morning message." I was 17 years old. I had a title, "Why Scratch Like a Sparrow When You Can Fly Like an Eagle with Christ?" Dear folks, don't scratch like a sparrow. Take the eagle route. See the whole view of things. Have the eyesight of that. Dear folks, suffering communion. It's 11:55. That's exactly how long I want to talk. And I want to turn it over to those who will have the communion. The Lord bless. Think on these things.